Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. We thank you once again for joining us on this mighty Monday night for February 15th, 2016. Tonight, we want to shout out and say hello to all our partners, all our friends, and those that are listening in the Creek Villa Apartments. God, we had a wonderful, wonderful time on Saturday, fellowshipping with the residents of the Creek Villa Apartments there on Jim Miller. As you know, as in our announcement last week, Granny's Place has opened up an adult literacy and reading program, job readiness. We're doing mentoring and tutoring in the apartments, and we wanted to get out there and let the people know that we were there. We had hot dogs and links and chips and a little barbecued them, and we had just a wonderful, wonderful time with the residents, and I want to thank them for coming out and joining us on Saturday, and hopefully you will come back on the fourth Saturday when we'll be back there to give you some more inspiration, some more love, and some more kindness, and help you along with all the needs that you have that we can help fulfill. So God bless each of you, and thank you again to Granny's Place and to Beverly Beasley for sponsoring Granny's Place and being our president. We just love her, and we want to appreciate her and let her know that God, the vision that God has given her is being fulfilled, and we're going to do everything that we can to help her to continue what God has given her. And also tonight, we have a very, very, very good topic we're going to be discussing with Minister Randall. We're going to talk about the power of agreement, and we have Minister Randall on the phone now. So, Minister Randall, you can go ahead and say good evening and start your conversation.
Good evening, Sister Lewis, and we thank you definitely on behalf of myself and the Letter House Network, everything that you've worked, that you've assisted us with, and
hello.
That you've assisted.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. We definitely appreciate you and also Sister Beverly Beasley just for extending the opportunity for us to be able to share what God is giving us and in just everything that's happening in the ministry and in our lives. And so we thank God for the partnership and the extension of your hospitality. So definitely thank God for that, and Granny's Place and all the great work that it's doing in the community, as well as the literacy program that y'all just kicked off this weekend. That is an awesome work and a very needed work in the areas that you're expanding to. So, again, we thank you for extending the invitation. We're excited every time we have the opportunity to come with you and be before you and just to share what God has given us. So, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. But tonight we're going to be talking about coming from a very, 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 very important topic, and you'll hear a little background noise. Excuse me while I get to a quiet place. We thank God for the lesson that we've been studying in our network, and so we come to you and the audience today, a Blog Talk Radio, to share with you this awesome thing that God has given us to share. And we're going to be talking about the power of agreement. And what's so important about the power of agreement? In recent studies and just being before God spiritually, myself along with some of the people that we're connected with in partnership, we begin to evaluate and study the Word of God as it relates to God's promises, the things that God says that we can have, all the things that God says that we should be. And as we begin to pursue and study on these topics, we begin to seek God and ask God, God, your word says this, your word says that. And in the areas that we are not seeing those things come into alignment, help us get into your word and reveal to us by way of revelation, to reveal to us not necessarily what we've done wrong, but what are we missing? What are we missing in the word of God? That all these promises, all these things that you say we can be, all this power, everything that your word says, how do we, as your sons and daughter, bring these things to life? And I'll probably say like maybe the last 2 weeks, this has just been on my heart. This has just been on my mind because I have so many prayer requests. There's so many things that I personally was in pursuit of God concerning. And God began to take us into a deep study as to his will, his plan, his strategic planning, and what we needed to do to have our kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so he led us, the first scripture that we were led to was Matthew 18, 19 through 20. And it says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three that come together in my name, there I am with them. So I had read that scripture a million times, starting from being a child, from Sunday school to YPWW. I even remember being in, like, vacation Bible school and hearing the scripture. But the most of the time we read the scripture, we normally relate it to, you know, like, marriage, relationships, and things of that nature. But in this season, in this realm, when I read the scripture, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, there's your answer. Everything that we need, everything that we've been asking for, everything that we've been seeking falls right up under here. And here's your answer on how to obtain those things. The power is in our agreement. Not our agreement with even with God, but he said where there are two or three who come together in his name, there am I with them. So that means that we don't need 50 people to agree with us. It doesn't have to be 100 people that agree with us. But he said where there are two or three come together. So that means me, little bit of me, Wanda, Minister Randall, Sister Wanda, that if I can find one or two more people to just come with me in agreement and believe and be on one accord with the vision, with the purpose, with all the things that we take before God, that God will be there with us. He said, if we agree on anything that we ask, he said we'll do it. And so here I am in my 40s, and I've read the scripture a million times, and I've read it, and I understand it, but now it becomes a revealed word, the word revelation. It began to relieve the burden. Because when a vision comes, a vision is there because there's a burden. So there's a problem, and the vision is the answer to the problem. And so I say, here we are in this scripture, and here's the answer to our problem right here. And then I begin to say, well, Father, why aren't these things happening? He said, because the enemy's number one thing that he fights constantly is what? People walking in agreement, walking in unity. You see discord on every level. You see it in marriages. You see it in covenant partnerships. You see it in businesses where people go into business as business partners and they start off on the same page and then all of a sudden something happens and they're no longer on the same page. And then they're wondering why things are not coming together, why finances are not coming together, why the business is not growing, why the home is not growing, why after 20 years of marriage you're still living from paycheck to paycheck, why after 50 years in ministry it's still a hard time getting the lights kept on at the church, or why after 20 years in ministry there's only 5 members there. He said because the enemy fights unity, and we're missing the key element to have those things that God says that we can have, from being the people that God says that we can be, from doing the things that God says we can do, because we're missing the most key element, and that is the power of agreement. We are not exercising that power because we're so easily offended. We don't know how to understand diversity and inclusion. There's so many people who says it has to be my way or no way. Everyone wants to be right. And we have to understand in kingdom building, there's not a right or wrong. The right or wrong shouldn't be the purpose. It should just be the main thing that God wants us to do. What is his mission? What is the vision? So it's not about a right or wrong or big I or little you. It's just about walking in agreement. And I began to share this morning on the prayer call this morning that I remember a few years ago when they announced that our jobs are going away for the departments that I oversee. And that means that a certain number of people will be displaced. And so I didn't agree with the, of course, who agrees with them losing your job? But after I heard the rationale about why the job were relocating, it made sense to me. And because it made sense to me, I was able to walk in agreement. So that means I trained the person who would be taking my job. And I didn't half train them. I trained them well. I gave them everything that I could, everything that I knew. And even after that, I told them that once this is gone, here is my number. And if you need me, you can call me, and I'll answer questions for you because I want you to be successful. So we agreed that we would do the right thing, walk in agreement, and train these people who were going to take our jobs, who were receiving our jobs. But because we walked in agreement and because of power in that, when time came for everyone to be displaced, God moved and he released and made opportunities for everyone in the department that wanted a job. They had a job secured before the time came for people to be released. And that's the one thing that we have to keep focused on. Jesus teaches us there is power in agreeing prayer. And so we have to ask ourselves these questions because we read the Word of God and we read it just to say that we read it, or we read it so we can quote a scripture, or when someone says that you can read along with them and say, oh, yeah, I know that scripture. You know, how can two walk together unless they agree? And we quote all these things. But the reality of it is, what does it mean? And not only what does it mean, how do you apply it to your life so the Word of God becomes action and not just the Word? So the first question that we ask is, what does it mean to agree? With whom should we be agreeing with? How do we come together in Jesus' name? And the other question that I had as I began to study, I said, does Jesus arrive because two or three have gathered? Or he's already there within each of us, and the power comes by us coming together? The unified prayer of any ministry, of any organization, of any family, any business, because this principle just does not apply to kingdom building. This principle does not only just apply to church. It applies to your everyday life. Unified prayer governs the spiritual world. If we're looking for God to release anything in any aspect of our life, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be mental, whatever it may be, the key to it, the principle is unified prayer, coming together in unity and praying and going before God. And so the question is, how many of us are doing that? How many of us are reaching out to our brothers, our sisters in Christ, the sons and daughters that labor, to say, what are you seeking God for? Let us come together and agree. With no discard, with nothing in our hearts, with no animosity, with no envy, with no strife, but we're coming together under full agreement and saying that these are things we're taking before God. And I have to pose that question because Matthew 18, 19, and 20 clearly says, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, he said he will do it. He didn't put a clause on it to say, well, here's a list of things that you can ask for. Well, you can ask for anything in this category, but you can't ask for anything in that category. That is not what he said. He gave us free range and said, if any of you on earth agree, he said that I will show up and I will do it for you. And so I want us to realize the power that we have, and not only realize it, but be convicted and persuaded to believe what the Word of God says. And your corresponding action tonight should be that we begin to touch and agree. And there's anything that's stopping the flow of the agreement, that we search out those things, we pull those things out. There's nothing blocking us from agreeing and walking in the power and the might that we have and the authority that we have in agreement. So, Sister LaChandra, this is what the Holy Spirit has been speaking. This has been something just been so, you know, pushing and so heavy on my heart. And so after reading this and going into deep study, I felt empowered. I feel like I had that missing ingredient that I needed to tap into the things of God. And so tonight we wanted to bring that to the brothers and the sisters and the body of the network so that we understand the power of our agreement and we start exercising the power of our agreement. So I want to pause there, Sister LaChandra. I'm not sure if we had anyone to chime in to see if there's anyone that has questions or comments so far about the topic that we're going forward with on tonight.
Amen. We do have some callers on the line. If anyone would like to make a comment or ask a question or have anything they want to share with us tonight, feel free to go ahead. And we're opening up the line to you at 6281. Did you have a comment, question? Or 6495. Did you want to share anything with us tonight? Well, Minister Randall, I would like to just say I agree wholeheartedly with what we are discussing tonight as the agreement. You know, lots of times we want to do things and we want to have things worked for us as individuals, as the head, a leader of the group, but we can't get our people to follow us. Our desires or what God has put on our heart, if they don't think it's about them, you know, or if they didn't bring up the subject or whatever God has placed on your heart to them, and they don't want to agree and follow with us. And that's a real problem with a lot of us Christians today, or just people in general, because we don't agree with each other. We don't go ahead and say, well, okay, we're going to take your lead, and God is going to be in the midst, and he's going to work it out. We just dismiss it. You know, and I think that is an issue today with some of us as we go forward.
Amen. Sister Lewis, you're absolutely right. And as I began to just go before God and see God, because in this season, we know that God has said this is a season of the open door. And it's a timed door. And so in preparation, just being before God, I said, God, I understand it's a timed door. And you've spoken that this door is for those who have suffered and those who have labored, that there's a realm of opportunity that you've opened for us to walk in and be everything that you have called us to be. And I believe that with all my heart and my soul. And so in speaking, I said, God, I don't want to just believe, but I want just believe in faith. I also want to put my corresponding actions with that, because we know that faith without works is dead. So it doesn't do any good to have faith if we're not putting our faith to work. And so that is when I began to study the Word of God, just to seek him for a revelation of how do we tap into those things that God is saying that's before us. Because, and a lot of people will probably disagree, but the reality is religion and tradition will only take you so far. It will only take you so far. I think about the man that laid at the gate for 38 years. It was tradition that they laid him. They would carry him just to the gate. In 38 years, they did this just out of tradition. Tradition will take you to the door, but it won't get you in. So reading the scripture, quoting the scripture, yeah, it'll get you to the door, but it won't get you in. We have to live it and faith, and we have to take the Word of God and go a deeper step in the Word of God. And this is what God is saying tonight, that, yes, I put all these things before you. You have my Bible, which we're so quick to say the basic instruction before leaving earth. So we have that, and we've acknowledged that they are our instructions. But the next question is, are we utilizing the instructions that God has left? Are we utilizing them to the best of our ability? The best illustration that I can give is that the measure of the power of God in our lives, in our ministries, in our organizations, is determined by the manifestation of God's power. So how you can measure what's happening is what's being manifested. So what's being manifested in your home? What's being manifested in your businesses? What's being manifested in your nonprofits? What's being manifested in your church? His power is revealed through the church, through the ministry, through the things that we've said that God has called, he purposed us to do. And we have to understand that the whole matter can be just like a flow of water in your house. So in most cities in the state of Texas, when you pull into the city, one thing that most cities have is a water tower. So you'll see a big water tower that says Ferris, Texas. You'll see a big water tower that says Mesquite, Bog Springs, Arlington. And if you've ever seen inside of a water tower, the water is a lot of water, number one. Normally it's unlimited water, and it's very powerful. But in your house, in your apartments, in your condos, wherever you live at, based upon the piping that you have in your home, in your apartment, in your condominium, that determines the pressure and the flow of water that comes into your house. So if you have a certain size pipe, that means only a certain amount of water can flow through to your house. If you may have very small pipes, you may have larger pipes. It depends on when your house was built. It depends on if you had your house built or was it built when you already moved in. It depends on what the construction people decide to use as they put the apartments together. But the piping of the house, of the apartment, of the condominium determines the power and the flow that will come in. And so that is the same thing that's with us. God is unlimited. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He says absolutely everything that we need. And if we want to have more flow, we want to have all the power, if we want to receive all the things of God, we have to have larger pipes. And how do we get larger pipes? We get larger pipes by coming together in agreement. Because the reality is, Jesus lives inside every believer, and he's there in every believer. And yet, so the enemy tries to push us in isolation to make us say, well, we don't want to do this anymore. We just over here to ourselves, and I'm tired of dealing with folks, and I'm through with church, and I'm through with organized this, I'm through with organized that. Yeah, that's exactly what Satan wants us to do, because you have less power when you're standing alone, because Satan realizes that if we come together in agreement, and we keep saying we need 50 people or we need a mega church, and all those things are great. But because it's so hard to walk in agreement, that's why the scripture says if two or three come together. So we don't have excuses to say, well, it didn't work for me because the Bible says you need 50 people. I remember in the Old Testament, when they began ready to destroy the city, he said, find me 50 righteous men. Find me 40. Find 30. Find 20. Can you find me three? Can you find one righteous man? And I'll spare the city. So he knew that it wasn't an overwhelm of people who would, because he knows that the enemy's biggest tactic is to always sow discard in every situation. He absolutely hates unity, because there's strength in unity. So we as believers have to get the victory over allowing him to come in and tear down the very thing that makes us strong, the very weapon of mass destruction that we have to be what God has called us to be, to do what he's called us to do, and go where he's called us to go. And that is the power of agreement, the power of agreement. Today, the degree of manifestation of God's power is governed by the capacity of you and of me. So what is my capacity? What is my capacity? Am I over in my corner saying me, my four, and no more? Or I'm reaching out to my brothers and my sisters saying, okay, today, what are we going before God before today? What are we praying about today? The power of agreement. Everyone has to say what they want to say about politics and who they want to be president and all those type of things. But who's coming together in agreement about the things that are related to what we need as believers to help push kingdom building from a political perspective? We have that power, but all we have to do is come together in agreement. When you see a couple, man and woman, who are walking in agreement, that is a powerful couple. So many people really, 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 really look down on Hillary Clinton with all the scandal went on with Bill Clinton. But she walked in agreement. Even though what he did broke moral principle to what we believe in, because they walked in agreement. And she said, I know this offense happened, but God has blessed us, because believe it or not, they are believers, and they openly talk about being believers. We agreed that whatever obstacle came against us, whatever mountain came, that we were going to storm it. So, Bill, I don't like what you did. It didn't feel good what you did, but I'm keeping my agreement. And because they kept their agreement, they're great. The life is prosperous. I believe their daughter just had her second child, and things are moving because there is power in agreement. Think about Abraham and Sarah when they were in the Old Testament, and they began to travel. When he said, "This is my sister." Now we're so religious and churched out. We said, "Well, they told a lie," but they were in agreement with what they said, and God blessed them. And Sarah was able to deliver these things to Abraham in his hand, and he went on to be called Father Abraham. So we can't get so caught up in the traditional and get so churched that we miss out on the principle, because this is a principle. The power of unity is a universal principle, not just a church principle. People working together toward an agreed upon goal are unstoppable. If you work together on agreed upon goal, you are unstoppable. I'm not telling you this. The Word of God says it. You are unstoppable. So for all of those who are pastoring and you have a husband and a wife, the pastor and the first lady there, or if you're in your business, you just started a small business, and you're wanting to walk away from those things, you're wondering why things are not coming together, the first question I have to ask, are we walking in agreement? Are we praying in agreement? Have we chose this common goal and said that we're working towards that? Or does everyone have their own agenda? Does everyone have their own agenda? Because if everybody got their own agenda, everybody will be continue to be scraping the bottom of the barrel, living from paycheck to paycheck, scraping up gas money to get to work and to get to church, paying half your bill, half your light bill this time and half your light bill next time, getting student loans to take it for our kids to go to college, and they get out of college, they're so full of debt that they can't even enjoy the fact they have education, because we fail to walk in a power of agreement, because everyone has to have their agenda. I don't need an agenda. And that is why I was able to come and connect with the Ladder House Network, because there was already a vision there. I'm just here to help support the vision.
Amen.
I'm walking in agreement to support the vision. So whatever you have submitted to, it's not about your agenda. If you've submitted to your home church, if you've submitted to the vision that your husband has, or whatever you've committed to, that becomes your agenda. We can't have our own separate agendas and everyone's going, okay, I'm saving for a house, you're saving for a car, and we're right here in the same house. Oh, the car is more important to me. Well, no, I'm getting my house. That's not an agreement. And then you wonder why the house is all jacked up. That you're both making over $50,000 a year, but you don't have anything. You don't know where your money's going. It seems like you have a hole in your pocket. And likewise, when we're in ministry and when we're in businesses and nonprofit organizations, it has to be one common goal. Just imagine being on a soccer field and everyone just kicking the ball. No one's just everybody out there doing their own thing. There's no teamwork, but that's not how it is in sports. Everyone understands that this is our goal and that's your goal. And my goal is to shoot this ball here. And my goal is to kick that ball there. My goal is to get this football over into the end zone, going that direction. And when it's switched around, my goal is to stop you from getting in my end zone. They all have a common goal. They're all working toward a common purpose. And they're successful because they understand what it is. And you don't see a lot of ball hogs in professional basketball, because they understand that it's not about how many points I hit. The thing is, we get paid by being a winning team. So if my team wins, then I look good. So you, and even in college basketball, you'll see more passing of the ball when you're watching college basketball. But in high school, you have a lot of ball hogs because they haven't reached the level of maturity that they realize that it's not about me. It's about the team. It's about the common purpose. So I can be very great, but if I'm on a losing team, then there's no scouts coming out to watch a basketball game for a high school that haven't won a game in 50 years. So we change our perspective of things to understand it's about the team. It's about the end purpose. It's about the one common goal, and begin to walk in agreement, whether your name is on the program or not, whether you've been called or not, whether we mention your name or not. The common goal is what's important. So what is the common goal? And for everyone on this line tonight, your goal is going to be different. For my common goal is to restore virtue. Restore virtue to a society that is barren of spiritual and moral excellence. To restore virtue to people. To take those who are broken and give them life. To give them character. To give them hope. To restore them. So anyone that has the same common goal, I can touch and agree with you. In anything that we say, anything that we ask, the Bible tells us, the Father tells us that he will do it. Anything that we ask, he said that he will do it. So there's nothing too big, there's nothing too small. He said anything that we ask. And if we read Ephesians 3 and 10, it says, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. So he wants these things to be manifested. He wants us to use the power of our agreement. He even goes on to say, how can two walk together unless they agree? Because I'm going to the right and you're going to the left. And that is what's wrong with the body today, walking in agreement. It is time out for discord. It is time out for separate agendas. If you've connected with a ministry, if you've connected with a plan, if you connected with a project, whatever the purpose and the objective of that project is, we should be touching and agreeing with the leaders that are leading those things to push those initiatives. And if we do those things, we will see things will begin to happen. Nehemiah built a wall in 52 days. That should have took much, much, much longer to do. But the Bible tells us in the book of Nehemiah, they were able to restore the wall because the people had a mind to work. They came together in agreement and said, you know what, guys? We are going to do this. And they worked, and they worked, and they worked, and they worked. Opposition came. People taunted them. They talked about them. They tried to get them to come down. The spirit of sabotage came upon them. The spirit of lies and deceitfulness, all these things. And then even got to the point where they wanted to kill them. They wanted to kill Nehemiah. But he did not stop. They kept working. And because they kept working, God did just what he said he would do. Anything you ask in my name, when y'all come together, he said, I'll do it. So you just, this is the time of year where we go for our annual exams, men and women, so that somebody's went and we know that people are going and have mammograms. We should be coming together and say, this is the week that the women are going to have their mammograms. And Father, we come before you today, and there will be no cancer, there will be no lumps, there will be no polyps. After 50, you have a colonoscopy, and we know that people are going for exams. Father, we come together and we touch and agree that you have went before us. And when they do the colonoscopy, there would not be any polyps. There would be no signs of cancer. Everything would be functioning properly. We have the power to do that. We have the power. We're waiting for God, and he's just saying, I gave y'all the power, men and women, children, as believers. He said that you have the power. You want that debt down? You want a better home? You want a better job? When we come together and touch and agree, we have the power. You want that child to act right? You want that spirit gone? When we come together, we have the power to make those things happen. We have the power. We have the power. It's both sobering and astonishing to realize that God has chosen to express himself on the earth through us, through ministry, through the church, through nonprofits. We are the pipeline through which the power of God flows. Everyone on this call, you're the pipeline. You're that water line that God's power flows through. The size of his power is infinite. The flow of his power is limited only by your capacity to receive it. So how big are your pipes? If they're not big enough, are you willing to expand them? Are you willing to have a makeover? To let God increase your faith, where you can walk in unity, where we can pray in unity, where we don't allow the enemy to push us off into little corners and make us feel like we're by ourselves. The prayers of everyone announces the power to principalities and authorities of the spiritual realm, what God's wisdom is. So our prayers, our coming together, announces to principalities God's wisdom. This spiritual realm must deploy accordingly. So when we serve notice through our prayer, when we come together in unity, whatever is out there floating in the spiritual realm, it must deploy according to what we've come together and pray. When we pray through prayer, it announces God's will. We are announcing God's will. It is God's will that we're the head and not the tail. It is God's will that we are lenders and not borrowers. It is God's will that we're the head and not the tail. It is God's will that above all things that we prosper and be in good health. It is God's will that your families be blessed. It is God's will that generation curses be broken. It is God's will that we walk in truth. It is God's will that we walk in the light. It is God's will that we walk by the power of his might. It is God's will that we are conquerors. It is his will. And we come together and we begin to declare those things in agreement. Satan's forces must back down. And the forces of God carry out his word. Again, when we pray and come together in agreement, Satan's forces must back down. They're not given a choice in the matter. So you want your marriages saved? You want your ministries flowing in the spirit? You want your homes in harmony? You want your children saved? You want them to be walking in the power and the might of God? You want them walking in their destiny? You want them walking in their purpose? You want that enemy on your job to sit down and stop and all those things to go away? You want to be healed in your body? You want to be healed in your mind? You want to be healed in your finances? We get there by walking in the power of agreement and coming together and calling those things that be not as though they were. And whatever we say and do in agreement, he said that he will do it. And Satan's forces must back down, and the force of God begin to carry out his word. The gates of hell cannot stand against the power of agreement. They can't stand against it. And we have authority. And the scripture tells us that we have authority, and we have to exercise that authority. So, Sister Lewis, at this time, I'll pause, and I'll see if there's any questions or comments from anyone, if you have anything on the topic that you want to share on tonight.
Well, Minister Randall, I'm going to ask again if our callers have anything they want to say tonight or have make a comment or ask a question to Minister Randall. Feel free to go ahead and ask her at this time. Okay, we just have listeners tonight. Well, thank you so much for listening. This is a very, very powerful topic tonight, and I'm thanking God for it because it is revealing to us that we can ask God for what we need, and if we come into agreement with it, with each other, we can move mountains. We can see things happen in our lives and in our churches and in our homes and in everything that we're connected to happen. But we have to be in agreement with what we want and what we need. You know, God says he'll give us what we need, but all we have to do is just ask. You know, I'm always the one that says, you have not because you ask not. But you have to ask in agreement. Like you said, we're two come together. You can do it on your own, but it's better when two do it and agree on it. Or how many others that you come in contact with and agree with about what your need or your want is, and you want God in the middle. As you said, your marriage, your home life, your children, your finances, that's what we do. We agree, and then we proceed. We walk in God's will and his way in order to get what we need. That's my comment. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Lewis, I thank you so much. And we have to walk in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the conviction or persuasion. Now, normally when you ask a believer, especially when we've been churched, what is faith? I've asked this question 100 times. And people say the same thing. And I was also guilty of saying that myself because it was so rehearsed. We think about Hebrews, faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. When you ask someone that, that's what they say. That's what we say. That's what I've said.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were talking to someone who didn't know Christ and you said, what is faith? And they asked you what faith is, and said, well, faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That would not make sense to them.
Right. They wouldn't understand it.
Some of us don't even understand it. We're just repeating it because we've heard it said. But I've learned in this season of my life that faith is the conviction or persuasion to believe that a statement is true. That means I've been convicted or persuaded to believe that a statement is true. So as believers, we don't walk in fact. We walk in faith and we walk in truth. And I want to explain that. I was sharing with a young lady the other day. There's a man in the store. He's in the store and he's stealing meat and all this kind of stuff, and he's putting it in his coat. And he's walking out of the store, and people seeing him putting stuff in his coat pocket, meat and food and all this kind of stuff. And so, based upon the neighborhood, the first thing that everyone said was, look at this low-down, no-good drug addict. In here, stealing to go buy some drugs. He's going to go out on the street, and he's going to sell this stuff to try to support his habit. So the fact that he was stealing was a fact. Yeah, he was caught stealing in the store. That was a fact. But every other assumption made by this man was not the truth. So I said that to say that we don't walk in fact, we walk in truth. Mm-hmm. And faith teaches us how to walk in truth. The truth was that this was a successful businessman who lived in a nice home, who had all those things, that was impacted just like those people who were dealing with the Enron thing, where they messed all those people up and they lost everything. He has 5 children at home. Nothing left, and his family needed to eat. So he said, you know what? I done called everybody I can, and y'all know how it is. You can loan people money all the time, but when it comes to you needing something, nobody wants to answer their phone or nobody has anything to loan. That happens. It happens. That's just the reality of life. And so he said, well, you know what? I'm going to feed my family. So the truth is, he was not some low-life drug addict. He was a man of integrity that said, I'm going to feed this kids no matter what it takes. But the fact said just to get otherwise, but the truth was that he was a man of integrity. He was a good father. And a good father will do whatever it takes to make sure that their children have food in their house. And so we can't just say faith is a substance of things, hope for evidence of things not seen. But we have to say it is the conviction or persuasion to believe that a statement is true. And a lot of times what we see with our natural eyes is just fact, but it's not truth. So as we read the word tonight, we read the word of God, just to read it and say, oh, I believe, I receive that, I believe that, it means absolutely nothing unless we make this become truth by walking in faith. And the Bible clearly tells us that faith without works is dead. Translation, faith without corresponding actions. So what does it do me for me to read the scripture, for God to take me here, for me to lay before God for 2 weeks and have him minister to me on the power of agreement, and for me to leave this line tonight and not exercise the power of agreement? Mm. It does me absolutely no good. The Bible tells us it's better not to know than to know and not do. So once we know the word of God, once it's ministered to us, once God has come and revealed his word to us, we have a responsibility to not just have conviction or persuasion to believe, but we also have a responsibility to put forth our corresponding action. So my corresponding action is that going forward, after God revealed this to me, in every situation in my life, whether it be in a relationship, a husband and wife relationship, whether it be in friendship, whether it be in sisterhood, whether it be in brotherhood, whatever the situation may be, that I must walk in agreement with those that God has put in my life so that the power that God has can be released on the earth and can be manifested, and that we may be witnesses to those out there in the world that there is power in agreement and God's word is true, that you can stand on his promises. But if we never use the power that God has given us, if we never exercise the power that God has given us, and we continue to walk around disgusted and busted, can't be trusted, how can we draw the world? How are we letting our light shine if the divorce rate in the church is higher than the divorce rate in the world? Mm. If the drug addiction rate is higher than the church than it is in the world? If the sickness rate of people being diagnosed with cancer is just as high as in the church and the ministries as it is in the people who say that don't even confess Christ, how can we be the light if we fail to walk in agreement? The only way we're going to get there, we're walking in agreement. That's the only way we're going to get there. Yeah, you may be good by yourself. You may be powerful by yourself. You may even look good by yourself. You may even feel good by yourself. But the Bible clearly tells us that two are better than one.
Amen.
So if you fall, who's there to pick you up? If you get weak, who's there to encourage you if you're by yourself? If you get sick, who's there to take you to the doctor if you can't get to the phone to call 911? He clearly says that two is better than one, and that does not always mean in a marital situation. It means in every aspect, because the power of unity is a universal principle. It's a universal principle. So we need to apply. We can't be saved or be Christians only on Sundays. We have to take these principles that God has given us, use them on your jobs, use them in your schools, in colleges, high schools, wherever you may be operating. You are still that same person wherever you go. You are still that man or woman of God. You're still God's man. You're still God's woman. You're still God's daughter. You're still God's son. So every principle that he gives us, we have to work that thing in every aspect of our life. It's time out for us dumbing down when it comes to things of ministry. Everything we do in our job, we do with the spirit of excellence because we know that our raises and our bonus are driven by our performance. So we, when we come into God's house, we should serve him with the same spirit of excellency. When we walk in our homes, we should serve him with the same spirit of excellency. We should serve our family with the same spirit of excellence. We should serve our husbands with the same spirit of excellency. If we say we would give, we cannot be at work giving our bosses more honor than we give our husbands. We can't give our bosses more honor than we give our wives at home, because that is not God's principle. So if you can say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, and you can submit to a man in the workplace and walk in agreement with your bosses, surely we should be able to walk in agreement with our husbands and the people that God has assigned us to, and be able to walk in agreement with your wife. If we can walk in agreement with someone that we don't even have a covenant with, then what more can we do in our homes? What more can we do in our business? What more can we do in our ministries? Walking in agreement. Or we can walk in agreement and we can have everything that God says we can, or we can continue to walk along and live a social life. But I choose today to live a life abundantly, more abundantly, because God did not send his son to die on the cross for me to live a so-so life. He did not send his son to die on the cross for me to be broke, disgusted, busted, and can't be trusted. He did not. He did not send his son on the cross for me to die from breast cancer or ovarian cancer or skin cancer or throat cancer or any other type of cancer or sickness or disease. He did not do that. So the power of agreement gives us the ability to release God's miracles in our lives and those that we are connected to. And I choose today. I choose today to walk in agreement with those that I'm connected with so I can have what God said I can have. Not only that, but I can be what God says I can be. But not only that, but I can do what God says I can do. And that is my faith. That is my conviction. And my corresponding action is, Sister Lewis, when we talk and we're having conversation, it's not about the soap opera. It's not about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's not about Sister Sue down the street. But it's about what do you have going on that we need to touch and agree on so we can get this thing moving, girlfriend.
Amen. That's it.
So our children can be saved, for our finances can be lined with work, so we can be millionaires. Oh, you're praying about this book deal? Let's touch and agree that God sends an agent to you. Oh, you're praying about how we pay this debt off? Okay, let's just touch and agree. You're praying on how we build the ministry, how we get more people in, how we build this literacy program and expand it all across North Texas. Okay, that's what we're going before God about. Because when we touch and agree, it releases to the realm that we are touching and agreeing, and it makes the devil have to stop his plot, and it releases what God has for us. Daniel had prayed. He said, Daniel, I heard you the first time you prayed, but there was something blocking you. It was blocking. I was trying to get this to you, Daniel, but there was something that was blocking it. And agreement stops the blockage. It increases the flow of God's power, and those things that are trying to block what God has for you, they have to get out of the way and take a seat. They have to take a seat. They have to bow to the authority when we come together and agree. So if the enemy is fighting you in your marriages, if he's fighting you in your local ministries, if he's fighting you in your business deals, and you just can't seem to get on the same page, I dare you start praying for the spirit of agreement to show up in your home, for the spirit of agreement to show up on your job, for the spirit of agreement to show up in whatever situation that you're in, because it's power in that agreement. It is power in that agreement. And I'm a firm believer, and as you probably can tell my voice, I believe that. I believe it, and I believe it just like I believe that Jesus died on the cross. That's
Amen.
How adamant and for sure I am about it, and that's how after getting this revelation and reading this word of God, that's how I plan to live the rest of my life. So if you don't want to walk in agreement, so I'm not the one, but it's all about agreement because I understand that's where the power is. And when I see they ain't going to agree, they ain't trying to walk in, I'm going to have to just say, okay, deuces.
Trying to move around.
Thank you very much. I ain't going to be able to do it.
All right. It's been nice, but I got to go.
Got to go. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here.
Okay. Me and you ain't going to walk this together. I got things to do for the Lord, and if you don't agree with what I'm agreeing with, well, I'm going to have to find somebody else to do it with me. It's exactly the way I feel about it, because God has put you with that person or whoever he's put in your path to walk and agree with. And if somebody comes in that don't want to do it, you just dust your feet off. Got to go. Got to do it with the one that God sends you, because that's his command. That's his destiny for you. And you, some, like you have said earlier, some people you can't take with you. Some people are not going to agree with you. Like you said, they're not going to come into unity with you. They're not going to do the things that God has chosen you to do because they don't agree with what you're doing. You know, they can find fault in it. They can see things that they don't see, that God has not revealed to them, but he's revealed to you. And just as sure as I'm sitting here, is he got somebody that he wants to walk with you. And he's going to put them there, and you're going to agree. And just like you say, that power that y'all have, to, that we would have together, is going to make it happen.
Amen.
And I believe that. I believe that, just like with what we're trying to do with Granny's Place and help the people at the Creek Villa Apartments, because we want to see them change and to flourish and to live as God has had, has destined them to live, not the way they've been living, not have the education, not living just to paycheck, but just to be better than what they are. And if they can come into agreement with us and themselves, we can make that happen. You know, that's what we're trying to do. And not to belabor or cut you off, we're going to talk a little about the Louder House because we have about 8 minutes. And I wanted to say that our promo, we are a people predestined to restore virtue in a society bearing of spiritual and moral excellence through a message of the gospel of the kingdom of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It is our endless desire to join a diverse generation for the purpose of connecting and developing other champions. In a technologically advanced society, we deliberately create platforms, special events, seminars, conventions, and fellowships in which the wounded and unusually gifted can find aid and a place of appreciation. Our aim is to continuously create an environment of love, unity, faith, and victory in which all can discover the champion within. We invite you to be a part of this important project. Prayerfully consider partnering with us as we build a platform where true nature of God can freely be experienced and expressed by all. For more information, please send your email inquiry to let me give me a little page over here to the lhnetwork@gmail.com. Predestined to Serve, Minister W.D. Randall, Dallas Director. So, Minister Randall, if you want to go ahead and expand on that for a second or two, we will appreciate and love it.
Amen, Sister Lewis. I mean, the Ladder House Network is the founding overseer for Ladder House is Dr. Shelton Carter, and he is the pastor of the Ladder House Network, and they're located at 1745 West Vernon Avenue in Los Angeles, California. And God has given this man of God a vision to restore virtue. And that is exactly what that's exactly what's happening. And for those of you who I met through the Bible's Bag Girl Club Revival that was hosted about four years ago now, this is through the man of God that spoke into my life, that brought deliverance to my life. And so since that time, since that connection, I periodically have been working with the network and now serving as a Dallas director, serving under this ministry, and lives are being transformed. If you are interested in partnering with us, we meet once a month in the Dallas area. And sometime very soon, we're looking to have an office site there where we'll have our own office there in Dallas as well, where we're meeting. And that's what it's all about, restoring virtue, restoring people, reaching out to the unusually gifted, those who are not going to church because, you know, church says they have to be a certain way to even start coming to church. And we are all inclusive. We want to accept them the way they are. I'm a firm believer that, and this ministry is a firm believer that, we just bring them in and we let the word of God clean them up. We don't try to clean them up and then bring them in. We just bring them in. So if you would like to partner with us and know more about, hosting an event at your local seminaries or just in your local organizations, yes, like Sister LaTandra said, the email address is thelhnetwork@gmail.com. And you can send your inquiry, and one of our members from our administrative staff would be glad to get back to you. So, again, we thank Sister Beverly for the opportunity. And Sister LaChan, we thank you for the opportunity that you bring to us to be a part of this organization.
Amen. God bless you. I tell you, it's going to grow. It's going to get big here in Dallas. You need to get on the wagon also with Granny's Place. We're going somewhere and doing some things for the people of Dallas. We're strengthening them. We're encouraging. We're coming to them with love, unity, faith, and victory so
Amen.
We can make them champions. And we're going to do it. So
Amen.
If you need some more information, take that address down and go and talk to our sister, our minister Randall, and see or what she needs for you to do in the ministry. It will certainly bless you because you'll be walking in unity. You'll be more
Amen.
Than two. Amen. And also I wanted to tell the people that are listening by cyberspace, thank you so much. Please join us if we have any volunteers that would like to be tutors, mentors, help us with gather GED information for the tenants over at the Creekside Villa. We are starting that program. We need some people to give us some information on how to get some things started, or if you just want to become a part of helping someone, helping and walking together, more than two, just
Amen.
In agreement. We want to be in agreement with each other. We want to help each other. We want to do the things that God has commissioned our hands to do. So you can contact us at www.grannysplace.org. I know I'm getting this wrong. Beverly, I see you're there. Would you like to make the announcement tonight? Beverly? Okay, I guess she got her phone on mute. So,
hello?
Hello, Miss
okay.
Beverly.
I was looking at something and I couldn't figure out how to get back.
Would you like to encourage the people to come out and help us at Granny's Place at the Creek Villa?
Yeah, we need volunteers to help. We're helping adults with literacy. Many of them are trying to go back to school and get their GED. We have others that need some encouragement to do better, to live better, to want to live better. We're needing young men and women to encourage other men and women to want better for themselves. We're needing men and women to help us with helping young kids learn how to read, how to count. We've got a lot of kids over there that like to draw and things of that sort, so we're needing anyone that likes to draw and help kids learn how to paint and things of that sort. So we're needing a lot of help to help the residents with resources and helping young women and young men get their GEDs and make a change in their life. So we'd appreciate it. So if you want to reach us, you can go to our website at www.grannysplace-ministries.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page, which is Granny's Place Ministries. Or you can call us at 972-802-6495. Or you can call the director of our mentoring program, which is Mrs. LaChandra Lewis, at 214-505-3447. But you can email us at grannysplace@gmail.com with any questions, suggestions, or anything that you might have so we can help these people become better people. We want to encourage them, the women and the men. We want to encourage them, and we want them to rise above the limits is what our theme is for Creekside Villas, to rise above the limit. And we want to see families grow.
Amen. And also we have one more announcement we would like to make. This is coming from the Hope of Glory. Fellowship in Dallas would like to extend an invitation to our God-given Spirit-filled weekend to remember, which will be February the 19th through the 21st. She says, our prayers that you and your families, unsaved loved ones, sick and shut in, or whatever the case may be, will join us for this mighty night move of God. We ask that if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please don't hesitate to contact Administrative Assistant Sister Keshava, Denmark, at 972-916-0545. This is coming from Pastor Sonara D. Henderson, Hope of Glory Fellowship. There will be an appreciation for their pastor from the 19th through the 21st. So if any go to hopeofglory.org if you have any questions. Okay? So that's going to bring our announcements to a close tonight, and we're going to go ahead and pray our show out. We are at the end of the show, and we want to thank you, Minister Randall, once again for coming on and giving us the topic, the power of agreement, which was a very good topic tonight. I've learned some things, confirmed some things that I already had in my mind and tried to work through. And thank you, Beverly, for the announcement of about what we're doing at the Creekside Villa Apartments, and they're on Jim Miller. And we just thank you, listening audience, for your participation as your support as usual. May God bless you and keep you. Mr. Randall, would you go ahead and pray us out?
Amen. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for Granny's place tonight. And Sister Beverly, God, we thank you for all the things that you've placed in her heart, the vision that you've given her. And Father, we thank you for every visionary that's connecting with this vision, Lord, and how we're operating in the vision in one accord, Father. Father, we ask that you today that you would help us walk in agreement. And because we're all walking in agreement, Father, we thank you in advance for the things that are being released in our lives tonight. We thank you for abundance. We thank you for provision. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for opportunity. We thank you for investors that are seeking us now to sow into each ministry, Father, to make this ministry what you would have for it to be, Father. And, Father, we sow and we give and we come before you in your name, God, not seeking any self-glory, but only, Father, that you may be glorified. The things that we do are not for us, Father, but just to give back to you because you're awesome and you're such a great God. And, Father, we thank you for being our healer today, God. And we know that we're touching and agreeing today. And where we're sick, God, we know that you're healing us. Where we're weak, God, we know that you're making us strong, God. And where we're lack, God, we know that you're filling us with abundance right now as we speak. Now, Father, as we leave this line, we ask you just continue to bless as we go through our night. We ask that you just come into our homes, Lord, and put your shield of protection around us tonight. And that as we sleep tonight, God, that those who are in pain, that there will be no pain tonight. Those who are weary, Father, they don't have any worry, God. And, God, those who are fearful, God, we ask that right now faith replace their fear. And when fear comes knocking, we're sending faith to answer the door. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. We thank you, Father. We thank you, and we agree in the name of Jesus. And we shout amen, amen, and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you,
Minister Randall. Thank you.
And we're asking that the listening audience join us on Thursday night for Wanda McKinley with Domestic Violence, and Friday night with LaShawn Street Talk. And then we have on Saturday morning Minister Joel Lewis, who will be doing his first sermon on Sunday, February the 21st at Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church at 3:30. Come and join us. And God bless each of you. We love you. Good night. Amen. Talk to you ladies later.